Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry. Virginia Hall was repeatedly rejected from the Foreign Service because of her gender and prosthetic leg. But by the height of World War II, the Gestapo called her the most dangerous of all Allied spies. Virginia established vast spy networks throughout occupied France, recruited and trained guerrilla fighters, and changed espionage forever. But her story has never really been told until now. Biographer and journalist Sonia Purnell is the author of A Woman of No Importance, the untold story of the American spy who helped win World War II. She joins us now on In the Moment from Los Angeles. Sonia, welcome to In the Moment.
Well, thank you very much indeed.
This story is really incredible. The book is really well written and really engaging. And I'm curious to start off with, how did you first get involved with this project?
Well, my last book was also about the Second World War, about Clementine Churchill and the extraordinary role that she played. You know, a lot of stories are out there about what women did at that time that we still don't know about. You know, you keep thinking, well, we know everything we need to know about the Second World War, and then another story comes along. Well, I think Virginia's is one of the, perhaps the most amazing that I've ever come across. So there she was, this glamorous socialite from Baltimore who'd lost her leg in a terrible hunting accident when she was only 27, who, as you say, was repeatedly rejected by the State Department. She'd so wanted to be an ambassador, but she didn't. I mean, what's so remarkable and inspiring about her is that this was just a sort of, you know, this was not something that was going to stop her. She didn't believe in stopping trying. So when she was rejected for the last time by the State Department, she then volunteered to drive ambulances for the French army on the front line when the Nazis were invading under enemy bombardment and machine gun fire. She kept going even when soldiers were deserting their posts. I mean, she really had the most unfathomable courage and resolve. And then she became a spy initially for the Brits, a secret service called the Special Operations Executive, at a time when America wasn't even in the wars, as long before Pearl Harbor. She went behind enemy lines. They gave her a 50-50 chance of survival. No one could quite believe that a woman with one leg, a wooden leg she called Cuthbert, could become such an immensely skillful spy who was able to set up networks, as you said, and elude the Gestapo for about 3 years that she was in total in the field. This is exceptional. They really wanted to find her. They called her in the end Artemis, the goddess of hunting. That's what they saw it as, hunting down Virginia Hall. But each and every time she escaped, she really was a master spy and later on a master guerrilla leader too.
And as you say, Virginia became involved in this well before the rest of the United States, and largely, as you write, because of her love of France. Can you talk a little bit about what it was about France that inspired such passionate devotion from her?
Yeah, sure. Well, when she was a young woman at the age of just 20, she wanted adventure. I mean, at high school, she used to go in with this unusual form of jewelry, a bracelet made out of live snakes. You know, she wasn't like other girls. She didn't want to get married and settle down like a lot of her contemporaries did back then. She wanted to travel, to see the world, to meet, as she called it, interesting people. So she went to study in Paris at the age of 20. Now we cross the Atlantic and we barely think about it. Then that was a big thing. When she got to Paris, these were the les années folles, what we might call the roaring 20s. So there was no prohibition. There was no racial segregation. It was fun. There were jazz clubs. It was a literary and artistic flowering. It was really quite something. Her head was turned. She finds it absolutely enthralling. And from then on, she had this great love of France. She called it her second country. And she could never accept the fact that this world power, this extraordinary power, had been reduced to a subject nation in 6 weeks by the Nazis. She always wanted in some way to find out how she could help them free themselves again. So this was very much a motivation, combined, of course, with the fact that she did have this wooden leg. She was never going to let her disability hold her back. I'm sure she probably never used that word disability. It wasn't sort of common then, but that's not how she saw it. It was all about what she could do, not what she couldn't do.
Yes. The nature of espionage being what it is, the book deals with a variety of aliases and incomplete records, sometimes purposefully, sometimes records are lost to time. And you're no stranger to the work of putting together a biography, but tell us a little bit about the unique challenges of telling the story of Virginia Hall.
Well, yeah, I mean, it took 3 years of pretty hard detective work, you know, lots of 100-hour weeks and things. But, you know, it was worth it. The challenges were that, obviously, if you're a secret agent in the field, you don't sit down at the end of the day and write about what you did. You don't take selfies of yourself under disguise. You know, all of those sorts of things. And it sometimes felt as if Virginia was playing cat and mouse with me. You know, even though she's long since gone, she died back in 1982, there were plenty of files and papers that somehow had been mislaid, were destroyed. There'd been a couple of fires at, you know, our archives, and a lot of these papers that would have made my life easier have gone. But, you know, through a series of lucky chances, I met a couple of former intelligence officers on both sides, Atlantic and the US and the UK, who helped me declassify some secret papers that were still closed. A lot of these papers are closed until the 2030s. I found a lot of personal accounts written after the war by men who'd fought alongside her, who said things, you know, that being born had been worth it just to fight alongside Virginia Hall. She's a great sort of legend in certain parts of France. Speaking French certainly helped, but going through all her different code names, she had about 20, working out it was all the same woman. So it was just kind of like being a detective. And in the end, it all pieced together. And then I met her niece, who lives in Baltimore now to this day. She's 89 and an absolutely fantastic woman. And she was also really helpful to kind of fill in the gaps, join the dots, if you were. So in the end, I got there. But my goodness, it took a while, but it was worth it.
Yeah. And as you say, those men saying it was worth being born just to work with her, Virginia really seems to herself inspire that level of devotion. And something I found exciting and interesting in this book was just the wide variety of connections she was able to make, you know, from nuns to prostitutes, as some of the reviews say. Tell us a little more about some of the people, she maybe characters that stood out to you piecing this together.
Yeah, I mean, that was amazing. I mean, just as if Virginia herself isn't what you'd think the conventional secret agent, nor were the people she recruited. So the very first recruits, pretty much, were some nuns in a closed convent on a hill above Lyon in southeastern France. And they provided her first safe house. But she went from them to a local brothel madam by the name of Germaine Garin, incredibly sexy, voluptuous woman. Half of Lyon, I think, was in love with her, and she entertained a lot of German clients, but she managed to extract all sorts of intelligence from them, which she passed on to Virginia. And the doctor who looked after those prostitutes, who were very, very brave women, by the way, will probably never know their names, well, it was also one of her chief lieutenants and used to help her enormously. And then she started recruiting the local police chief and people in the town hall who could make false identity papers for her. And then later on, when the fighting actually began, she recruited schoolboys, booksellers, farmers, vets, all sorts of people. So everyday people who were unbelievably heroic and were led by some incredible force of character that she had, this charisma, this hold over people where they just signed up to her. They didn't know anything about her, but they knew they wanted to follow her. And when you think how dangerous war is and how they had to take her on trust, just the force of character that she must have had is just sort of mind-blowing, really.
I know in past material and interviews, you've said that something that stood out to you about this story, and there's so much that's extraordinary about it, but what one piece is that through all of this, Virginia was still able to find love in some of the most extraordinary circumstances, and she writes early in her time about the loneliness. She had kind of flouted her mother's wishes of getting married at a young age for this life, which she valued, but tell us a little bit about the love story in Virginia's life.
Yeah, well, I think we shouldn't sort of forget just how lonely being a secret agent was. You couldn't trust anybody, not even people on the same side as you, because, you know, they might be captured and tortured and you know, give your details away. One secret agent would have her dinner in front of a mirror because it was only her reflection that she could trust. Now, Virginia asked for backup in the field again, again, again. It never happened. It was just, war was so chaotic. And right at the end of the fighting, though, this American officer was finally parachuted in to help her. And she'd been on her own for all these years, but now this guy came in, Paul Goyo. He was shorter than her. He was younger than her. He respected her. He took her commands. He looked after her back, but he also made her laugh. And they fell in love in this commandeered chateau they had as the war was kind of rolling away from them at one point. And she eventually married him, but not for a long time. They came back to America after the war, but her mother didn't approve of him. And so she had to hide her relationship with him for some time. And what always kind of makes me slightly sort of giggle in a way is that this woman who was not scared of the Gestapo, not scared of the Abwehr, not scared of all this thing, all these things that war threw at her, was slightly scared of her mum and therefore didn't want to, you know, actually come out and say, yeah, I'm still with Paul for a very, very long time until, you know, many years after the war. And I just sort of, it kind of gives you a little insight into Virginia's character, that however hard-bitten a warrior she was, she still had those same kind of ideas and worries and concerns that the rest of us have.
Wow. Sonia, in about the minute or so we have left, what will you take away from the process of writing this extraordinary book?
Well, I think about Virginia every day. So do my friends. When we have a hard day or things aren't going well, we all just think, well, Virginia wouldn't complain. And what would Virginia do? She had such ingenuity and such resolve. I just really find her a great inspiration. And I really hope that other people who read the book feel the same way. She was a great figure, a great American, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. My guest has been Sonia Purnell, author of the new biography on Virginia Hall. That book, again, is called A Woman of No Importance, The Untold Story of the American Spy Who Helped Win World War II. Sonia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.